Corporation under this chapter shall invalidate or affect any right, forfeiture, or penalty accruing to such corporation, or invalidate or affect any contract entered into or imposed upon such corporation. So any contracts, any benefits that they have coming, any things that they have to have go out are still in effect. So 80.610 says trustee in disincorporation. Whenever the county commission, that's you guys, shall dissolve any corporation, they shall appoint some competent person to act as trustee for the corporation so dissolved. So you have to appoint a competent person before you dissolve the corporation. There's been a vote to dissolve it. 80.620 says the trustee in corporation, the trustee before entering upon the discharge of his duties shall take and subscribe an oath before some judge or associate circuit judge that he will faithfully discharge the duties of his office and shall moreover give bond with sufficient security to be approved of by the court to the use of such disincorporated town or village, conditioned for the faithful discharge of the duties of his office. And then lastly, there's two more. The trustee shall, as soon as possible, prosecute or defend the final judgment all suits instituted by or against the corporation, collect all money due the same, liquidate all lawful demands against the same, and for that purpose shall sell any property belonging to such corporation or so much thereof as may be necessary, and generally do all acts requisite to bring to a speedy close all of the affairs of the corporation. He makes a report of his proceedings to the county commission at each regular term thereof, and when the trustee shall have closed the affairs of the corporation, he shall pay over to the county commission all monies remaining in his hands and deliver to the clerk of such court, which is the clerk of the commission actually, all books, papers, records, and deeds belonging to the dissolved corporation. So in other words, at this point, you've got to wrap up the affairs of Bradleyville.
Right.
They probably don't have much in the way of debt. They probably don't have much in the way of stuff coming in. You're probably going to have to shut off whatever road monies they might have coming in from the Secretary of State if that hasn't occurred already. Pay their debts, whatever land they have, sell it, if any. There may be next to nothing. But you have to appoint some competent person to be trustee to oversee that. And they're going to have a bond, and it's going to have to be sufficient. So you're going to want somebody to come in and tell you, at least generally, what's going on with the village of Bradleyville, where they're at. The bond probably isn't going to have to be very much, but you guys probably are going to
end up
paying for the bond for whoever you appoint. And then this person is going to be making sure everything's wrapped up.
Okay.
All the paperwork's done. And once they're done, any monies come to the county commission. And any paperwork, you know, the historical records of the village of Bradleyville, all that sort of thing, all that gets filed with the circuit, with the county clerk. And then you can finally wrap it up.
Wasn't there somebody who volunteered to be a trustee? Didn't we have somebody who threw a name out and say, hey, I can do it?
Possibly John Combs.
That's the name I heard.
And the trustee shall receive for his services such compensation as the commission shall think reasonable. And if any town or village disincorporated as aforesaid have an annual revenue accruing thereto, the same shall be paid to the county governing body by the person owing the same, and all monies thus paid, as well as any monies paid by them by the trustee, shall be held and disposed of by the governing body for the benefit of such town or village, and may be applied by the governing body to any specific object upon the petition of a majority of the taxable inhabitants of such town or village. So basically, you're going to be holding on to any monies that they've got.
Right.
And then you're going to have to figure out a way to get rid of it once, you know.
How do we assign a trustee? Does it have to be someone who lives in Bradleyville, or can it be anybody?
It can be anybody.
Is that something your position would do?
I could do it. I don't know that I want to do it, but I could do it. I could certainly help whoever did it.
John was the chairman, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
The latest chairman. John Combs?
Yeah, that's the name I kept on hearing thrown around.
He's the one that called me, I know.
Is there a lot of work involved, do you think? Is there research? What is it?
I don't think there's a lot of work involved.
Mostly it's research, isn't it?
There's some research. I think basically what's going to end up happening is if they don't own any property, there will be nothing to sell. If they don't have any contracts where they owe any money, there'll be nothing to pay out.
Properties, is that vehicles and all that too?
Yeah, and okay. I don't think they really have anything.
Okay.
They have an election bill.
Which I think
is going to come to the commission to pay for. Right? Because we're going to have to pay for it.
Somebody,
Someone's paying for it.
Yeah, somebody's paying for it.
Well, it may come out of the resources of the village of Bradleyville if they have anything. And they do have some monies that come in, I would imagine, through the road and, you know, the road taxes, fuel taxes, whatever. And somebody's going to have to shut those monies off and say, we don't get them anymore once we're dissolved.
What?
But until they're actually dissolved, they continue to get
them. So it sounds like there's some legal. So it sounds like it needs to be you or another attorney to do it, just because there may be some legal discussion, legal writings to shut down the Bradleyville.
Mm-hmm. And
I mean, we can hire.
Would you rather us hire somebody? Okay.
John Combs could be the trustee, and he just needs some advice. You could hire an attorney to do it.
But don't we have Shinowick? He's coming out of retainer stuff.
Yeah, he could probably do it.
Well,
what do you think, Chuck?
I like Russ. I've used him myself. I just think it might be easier for John to have one of our Forsyth attorneys, you reckon?
Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter. We could do Bill McCullough across the street if you wanted to.
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
I'm thinking that.
Of course, John works at White River, so he could meet with Russ as far as that goes, too. I don't care.
I don't think I want Bob doing it.
That's fine with me.
Who do you want, Chuck? Want to do Bill McCullough since he's close, or you just want to do Shinowick, or you?
Doesn't make a lick of difference.
Me neither.
Who do you ask to use, Bob?
Who would you recommend?
You don't care either.
Make a recommendation, though, Attorney Bob.
Either one's fine with me. I don't want to take... Either one's fine.
How about Shinowick?
All right.
I'll move that we assign Russ Shinowick the duties of trustee for the disincorporation of Bradleyville.
Second. If he's willing to take it.
If he's willing to take it, which we are directing Bob Paulson to let him know that.
And all those in favor say aye.
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 So motion carries. The we need to contact John. That's something. Who needs to do that?
I guess I've got a finger pointing at me. I'll contact John Combs and tell him that we're looking to appoint. I'll wait and talk
after
to Russ.
After
you
talk to Russ.
And if he takes it, then say that he's the trustee to wind it up and let him know that he needs to work with him, and we'll get this wound up as quickly as we can.
Perfect.
We may want to wait until enough fuel taxes come in to pay the election bill. But
and that's always fine, too.
Okay, that motion that we just did, do we need to do any other motions?
Not that I know of right now.
Okay.
Tucker just called, wants to know, I told him that you were definitely attending Wednesday. Are you going to attend Wednesday to the roundtable?
We don't have anything on the agenda?
No, we do. That's what we're going to talk about. Let me talk to, kind of go through the whole thing. He'll have to just tell him to wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll IM you or email you or something. We have Road and Bridge for 2 hours on that day. So you and Danny were going to do Road and Bridge with Frank, and I was going to do the senator thing. Or we can just cancel Road and Bridge thing and we all go, or you and I go. I just felt like since it is, he's asked for the commissioners to be
there. I think we ought to be there if we can.
Yeah, let me just tell him. We'll just have to push Frank around.
You can reschedule
Road and Bridge anytime.
All right.
Okay. Is that all we had on Bradleyville?
I think that's it for now.
How much was the electrician bill?
Yeah. $23,000.
No.
So they socked it to us
maybe
for the East West border. So what?
I think it was about $1,600.
That much?
Oh, yeah, we should outsource.
860.
I don't know who taught me that.
That much?
That's a good line.
What's next on the agenda there, Jim Used?
How about Gary and Melissa?
What? That's why they're here.
You know, we need have you guys got time for this? How's things going?
Jim,
you need me to move?
Sure.
Yeah. No, just, no, come, just up like here, come up here and let him have a microphone. And or either one of your microphone.
If
you want to talk from standing up,
this
that's
is
fine.
Fine
too.
Sure. We've got new chairs. You're so comfortable. I've been sitting all afternoon.
I'm just going to sit up there.
Standing
so
will be fine.
To. People might shoot at me.
Yeah, I got Danny's name is right now. Press might come by.
Definitely.
Do I have to yell at them?
that was recorded for posterity's sake right there.
The microphone, we have to add your input here.
That was funny.
Where did we start? The mailroom discussion.
Yes.
Let me...
years ago, seems like.
Let me jump in here and then you guys can then shoot me down. Have you done anything? Is there been any more discussion since the last time we met?
Not really as far as... we've discussed, you know, the responsibilities and...
Right.
All that. We would need to determine several things, like, number one, who would actually manage that department, that employee. One of the things that came up was who would back that person up on a day off or vacation or holiday. There were some questions that did come up from it. I still see it as a viable position to save the county money over the long haul, but, I don't know. There's a lot of costs associated with it that are being absorbed by other departments now. I mean, we're doing the services now. It's, I think we could more efficiently do it and actually save the county money if we did have someone to staff that position.
My thoughts, Gary, just to let you know, is it seems like your department's involved a lot with the metering machine and all that. Is
right.
that true?
Yes, we are.
And you have some versatile people. I mean, you've got some mm-hmm. people that backfill already.
Right.
My thought, and this is something that I haven't talked to anybody about, was it would be a report at this mm-hmm. point to IT.
Mm-hmm.
Just mostly because you've got some help desk personnel, you've got some flexibility in day-to-day work. You guys have some flexibility. Like, I wouldn't say like Melissa or GIS, but other departments, sub-departments right. of yours have some flexibility, it seems like.
We do maintenance now and cleaning, do reporting.
Right.
Melissa does all of the accounting software as far as, cost savings on bulk mail-outs and... we also do all the postage updates and, you know, get the technicians in for maintenance. We're fairly familiar with the machine. The only thing is it would take, it takes quite a bit of our time now. When we do a mail out, and Melissa does most of this work, I think James had about 15,000 increase notices. It took quite a while to set those up. But the savings was substantial.
And part of the thinking, in obviously roundtable, so just tell me to be quiet if you want, but it would be the space that you guys are currently using next to the mailroom also would be the secured area for that mailroom
right.
person and the unsecured. So that'd be the old IDA office, Seth's old office.
Yes.
That would be the secured area.
Correct.
And then the mailroom would be unsecured.
Right.
In case he was out, that person was out either
sure.
picking up mail, dropping off mail. I mean, that was some discussions that the duties of the picking up mail, it seemed like that was some of the discussions that we had, some controversy or some discussion, mm-hmm. which was, I don't want them picking up my mail, or I pick my mail up three times a day. And, you know, it's almost like we would need to say, oh, we'll pick it up once a day at this time if there is any mail. If not,
right.
then we'll leave it alone. We're not going to consolidate post office boxes. And then we have a pickup schedule, you know, an internal pickup schedule, and then and guaranteeing whenever we pick it up that gets out there at a certain time.
That's correct.
I think
that would be easy enough to do. We would have to leave the machine open for people who came in while that person was out
sure.
picking up and all that. But definitely would need a secure area, and that Jimmy's old office, the old IDA office, would make a good location for that.
I still think, I mean, after looking at and talking to other counties, smaller counties do the purchasing agent and the mailroom person together. Small counties,
mm-hmm.
larger counties, they're separate departments.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I think there is a benefit there. I really do. It's just a matter of, you know, is IT the right department to answer to? And my only thought is you've got more people to backfill in case that
right.
person's gone.
Right.
You know, I went through, you know, thinking it's either P&Z or Sue or IT or Road and Bridge. And I think technology-wise, you know, not knowing how complex it's going to get, it seemed to make sense it would go to you.
we do the postage updates. We take care of the maintenance on the machine now. And
right.
From three or four of the guys are fairly familiar with
right.
That. And Melissa, probably the key is Melissa and the database work. That's very intensive, and that person would have to have some training and also have to have a backup to take care of that. So, do you have any comments on that, Melissa?
I mean, Chuck, are you still supporting it?
Yeah. Just to, you know.
What I'd like to do, Gary, is what I'd like to do is with those, with us finalizing all these other unknowns or unsure, I mean, finalizing some of these things like who will they answer to, their hours and all that,
right.
Then send it out to all the department heads and the and elected officials, say, this is our final draft before we vote on it. Do you have any final feedback?
Okay.
Because once again, it's only successful if everyone uses it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they don't use it, then it's a waste of money. And we don't need
totally
to do that.
I totally agree. I hate to see these wasted, you know, these tickets.
Absolutely.
A lot of postage, a lot of money wasted in that postage room. I think there's a lot of time wasted in people running back and forth to the post office.
Right.
And I think...
I think there it is, and sometimes it's not. So
sometimes
I mean,
it's not.
I mean,
that's correct.
Part is that we're not going to... I think we need to be cautious on how we word it. That we're just going to say we'll pick up the mail either twice a day.
Twice a day, probably, yeah.
And if you want to pick it up more often, that's fine. We're still going to check the P.O. box, the post office boxes on our set times. And, you know, if someone wants to, you know,
right.
I think collector and I think the recorder deeds both said that they collected, they went by more often than
right.
not. But like over in Brenda Neal's area, they could mm-hmm. use that help right now.
Sure.
So.
I'll draft something together this week. We'll get
if
something.
If you can, I mean, I think that's what we need to do is put down our final thoughts and do a final draft and get buy-in from all the departments to make sure that it's still a benefit.
Right, right. I'll certainly do that. I'll have something by the end of the week.
Okay.
Ready for that.
And if you want our office to help with the discussions, I mean, with writing, I mean, our ladies
sure.
are available if they
probably send you a draft and then you guys can
okay.
help hammer the verbiage out on it. So.
Sounds good to me.
Would you have just a moment to discuss the phone system out at the airport?
Yeah.
Or am I pushing it too much?
What time are we, what's our next thing on the list? 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
You got 15 minutes.
I just wanted to bring you up to speed on where we're at with that.
Yeah.
Today started the actual installation of the hardware out there. We'll probably be pulling cables on Wednesday. We're finding a few things that dropped through the cracks from the contract to the actual implementation of the system. And one of those are whether or not we're going to have the tenants out there pay for their phones or whether we're going to go digital with those phones, we're going to go power over Ethernet, or what kind of phone system are we going to actually supply for the tenants? If we go digital handset, we'll have to get a digital line card.
I was thinking IP, just because that's the most flexible technology for the future.
Okay.
Power, because that's what you did for P&Z and Sewer.
Right, right.
That's what we have for Historical Society.
That's right.
So I would think that is the future. That gives us flexibility of moving locations.
Okay.
Basically, Chuck, what it gives us is the ability to, if we have Ethernet connection to this network, we can have phone service.
Right.
Versus the other way, which is like we have on our desk, which you got to have a specific card or plug in your phone switch. So it gives us more flexibility.
Well, that'll involve a little. There are digital and analog cables to all of those remote offices, and I was out there this morning, and to get the data pulls is going to require quite a bit of work. They just have a half-inch conduit ran down through there, and we've got to get 3 Cat 5e or 6 cables through that single conduit and 4 cases in it. There's just no way to make it happen.
Tenants, you mean?
Yeah.
At the airport,
right.
Point Lookout Airport.
Avis, the three tenants that they have down there.
Do they offer wireless?
802.11b
or G or something.
We could do 11n, gigabit 11n
uh-huh.
as an option. Then all we'd have to do is just rewire that little N down there. What I'd like to do is go out there tomorrow morning with CenturyTel and really kind of do a cost analysis on which would be the cheapest way for us to really go out there.
Right.
We think we can pull a digital line card from our system here and not have to buy that. If we do go VoIP phones, then we're going to have to probably buy 6 more phones. We only allocated 6, and there are actually 12.
Well, whatever. I mean, I'm for cost-most cost-effective.
So, So I'll have some better numbers tomorrow. But
how many IP phones did you buy for the sewer and PNC? 12.
Actually, we had those left over from the judicial center move. I still have four left. And
so how many IP phones do we have then?
If
there was an emergency, I just want to make sure. If there was an emergency, the whole thought process was this was a disaster recovery site.
Correct.
So we could take all the phones from sewer and PNC, mm-hmm. Historical Society, and your four. Would that get us 20 phones?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
And do you have the switch out there that you'd need to plug in, or do we need that?
The switch would be out there as well.
So mm-hmm. it's already installed?
Yes. Any of the phones could go on any network connection.
So we could have 20 workstations set up at the airport as a disaster site if need to be.
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm sure we'd get it from CenturyTel in just a matter of hours if it was an emergency situation. So we still have three or four left from our from the old commission office too.
Okay.
So we probably got a couple of dozen if we really had to have them. But I'll kind of do a cost analysis and I'll work with CenturyTel tomorrow, see which would be the most cost effective way. But looks like if we go the digital way, it's going to be more work on our part. We're going to have to pull more lines, figure out how to get them down there. And if we go the VoIP way, I mean, if we go the digital way, the cabling is already in place for the Cat3 for the phone. It would just be a digital line card.
But we might have that.
We might have that.
Fine, because we still have the voice over IP option.
Right. For all of the
as the disaster side, but just you're saying tenant-wise.
Tenant-wise, they could still be on the digital. And we are going to need, and they didn't include on here, an analog line card for all of the fax machines out
right.
there. So there will be a little addition to this, but I should have those numbers firmed up tomorrow. Then.
Excellent.
But it looks like we should have the system pretty much the wiring done yet this week, and then I would say hopefully next week if the numbers can get transferred and everything. We want to make it seamless, but we should be able to get them up, brought up next week.
Excellent.
So,
and that's when we'll have be able to do.
We'll have the redundancy
and the extension dialings, the free calls to Branson right. area, and you'll have it all programmed into the phone switch
yep.
and all that.
Yep, we'll have all that going.
That's the beauty of the whole thing is that do it with a long distance local.
Right. So I'll have some numbers tomorrow in case you need to know what they might be or if there might be an additional charge or two down the line. So,
can I bring up one more thing?
Sure.
I got an email from CenturyTel talking about a technology request. We had a while back asked about can we record phone conversations?
Right.
You know, basically when there's a conversation taking place that's maybe belligerent or whatever, we want to be able to be ability to record that conversation. And so they have a seminar on that. Is that right? Have you seen the solution?
Yeah, Dave Wilcox, our sales engineer, would like to get us to I think it's a webinar, actually.
Right.
I think it's a pretty pricey solution.
Is it? I was going to ask you if you've done any research. Cause
several thousand dollars.
Several or
yeah.
just?
I'm thinking like 10.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I thought there has to be another solution.
There is. There's other solutions. If it's that, that was my question.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the value in it, but not that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that.
I do, too.
Yeah, I just don't see that.
I've been to your office when there's been
because
some calls.
We've had some calls upstairs that they should have really recorded.
Yeah.
And, okay. Why don't you tell Dave we're not interested? He's got to find something
okay,
more
something
cost
more.
Effective. Because
I sort of gave him, dropped that hint to him that we're looking for something a little bit more
yeah,
economical.
I just don't see that happening. Not my support, so.
Okay.
And you'll come up with something?
Beg your pardon?
You'll come up with the rough draft? Final draft of
yeah.
the mailroom personnel.
Okay, and I'll support it to you guys, and you mm-hmm. can review it, and we'll go from there.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's
the
report?
The brains, did I?
Sure.
Thanks for all you guys been doing lately.
Thank you.
Our shared leave discussion start in about 5 minutes. I do want to let you know, in casual conversation, I got this response from Lynette Weatherford, so I'm going to make sure this is, so let's want you to review it first here. The front is an email. I attached the file we had. I said, here's the concerns that I brought up in the last meeting. Here's the three concerns, basically. Is it an attempt to provide short-term disability? Does it discriminate against other less popular employees with similar needs? And does this override or infringe on the FLMA? So then she responded here.
Okay.
And then I sent the document you had sent me.
All right.
And then when it says JS, when it says J, those are my comments. So
okay.
Anywhere over here where it says J7, that's my comment. And it says LW, it's Lynette Weatherford's comments. So she kind of highlighted
Wonderful.
A word, so you can kind of see what we're talking about. So why don't you review that in the next 5 or 6 minutes? I just got it a little while ago. And I'm going to call. Can we have a 5-minute recess?
Recess.
I just got a phone call.